You're listening to the We Lead Well podcast, where well-being matters. This episode is brought to you in partnership with Transform Education Coaching, headteacherchat.com and the Teach Well Alliance. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the We Lead Well podcast. I am Vicky Maguire. And I am on a mission to support and encourage more women into leadership roles in education. How am I doing that? Well, I run group coaching programs for women leaders, and I have created the Women Lead Well Coaching Network to provide a supportive network for female school leaders. It's a shared space where women in education can come together to support and champion each other. And it's a place where they can connect with like-minded women, share their challenges, and be assured that they're not on their own in the challenges that they face. And it's also a place where they can be reassured that there are other people who are there to listen to. So today on the show, I'm joined by Vivian Porritt from Women Ed. And she's going to take us through the calendar of Women Ed events that are taking place to support International Women's Day over the next couple of weeks. So I just wanted to share with you this year's International Women's Day's theme, and it's hashtag break the bias. So International Women's Day this year, want you to imagine a gender equal world. I mean, imagine that. I started thinking about it and it was just mind-blowing to try to imagine a gender-equal world. But a world that's free of bias, stereotypes and discrimination. A world that's diverse and equitable and inclusive. A world where difference is valued and celebrated. And International Women's Day truly believe that together we can forge women's equality and that collectively we can all break the bias. So let's hear from Vivian about all the wonderful events that are taking place. Vivian Porritt, welcome back to the We Lead Well podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, Vicky. Thank you very much indeed. Delighted to join you.
I have to say, you look really well today. It's not a video podcast. Does that make me sound really old calling it a video podcast?
Probably
got some fancy name that I'm totally not aware of. Probably make my son cringe, that one. But you've got a really nice background. I need to get myself a We Lead Well background that I can use when I'm doing podcast interviews.
So yes, every opportunity to share the brand.
Yes. It's an absolutely brilliant brand that you've got. I love everything that you do with Women Ed. It's just such an important, what would you call it, organization, network,
community. Yeah. It is a network, but because we've got networks within the network, we tend to call it a community.
Yeah, and so important that women have got that community. I think I've said before, I would have loved for Women Ed to be in existence when I was a head of English and early on when I was an assistant head. So the reason so the reason that I've asked you to come back on the podcast is because it's International Women's Day on the 8th of March, and I saw you tweeting that you've got lots of plans, so I thought it'd be really great to get you on the podcast so that you can tell us all about what Women Ed are doing to celebrate International Women's Day. And I think it would be really useful for the listeners to know how they can contribute in some way to that. So do you want to start by telling us all about the plans for International Women's Day?
Certainly, we'd love to. We do a lot around the time of International Women's Day, as do very many other women-led or women-focused organisations globally. So International Women's Day is there because there are still biases and gaps for women in all sectors. Obviously, I'm talking education, but it's there because the gaps and the biases and the barriers are there for women in all sectors at all levels. And each year, the organisation that coordinates activities towards International Women's Day give a hashtag for that year's particular focus and topic. Last year's one was super. We really loved that because it was, or was that the year before's? I've lost track of the years. I think the last time we had it in person in 2020, I think that was Choose to Challenge,
which was just that one. Yeah.
Brilliant for Women Ed. But this year's focus is even better than that, and it's Break the Bias. So that's certainly ignited an awful lot of thinking across the Women Ed network, and a lot large number of our networks are doing events around about International Women's Day, because some of them are still on Zoom. We have to space it out because you can't have six events going on at once on Zoom. So we've got a calendar of Women Ed events coming up. And we have one itself on International Women's Day and several others around the date. I think it's our Northern Ireland network that kicks it off in the last weekend of February, before we move into March. And from then on, we've got lots of events happening. One of the other big ones, the Women Ed Northern Ireland Network will be a big event, and that's a live event.
Right.
And the London Network is very live also, and that's on the 12th of March. We'll have some go follow on from that. Some of the international ones are developing that there. On the 8th of March itself, which is International Women's Day, we've got two events happening, one in Germany, and one it's focused on the Chartered College of Teaching in England, but it's online, so it's open to anybody anywhere. And it's an open to all event rather than only to members of the Chartered College. And I'll come back to that in a moment. I'm very excited about the event we're having on the 7th of March. In 6.5 years of Women Ed building up our own community, that community includes our male allies. And we use the United Nations hashtag he for she to denote those. And so we've got a global presence with that. And we've been talking about an event in which our male allies have a very dominant role to play, which is to communicate with other men in education. And finally, on the 7th of March, we have our first event for all of our he for she's to celebrate International Women's Day and the importance of supporting women. So I'm losing count of the number of he for she's who have volunteered to contribute to that session. I think we must be up to about 12 or 13.
Wow.
And what we're going to do is very shortly, this today or tomorrow, we're going to ask for the questions, the topics that our Women Ed community would like our male allies to address. And so, for example, I'm definitely going to say it's the gender pay gap. And so our male allies will talk to what we hope is a big audience of men. We'll talk to them about how they have addressed that in their own school and how they support existing and aspiring women leaders. And I've been so delighted by the response of our he for she's. So we now need a male audience. So this is going to be the very best manual you can ever possibly have, and the only one we would accept. But we do now need an audience of men. So we've put the call out to our Women Ed community to say, you know, you need to get your men to come and listen.
Well,
and to join in.
We've got a lot of male listeners to the podcast. So let's give a shout out now to all our male listeners to come along and support by joining that. Because I think it's really important, isn't it, that men support women. And one of the things that I look at when I do the women leader coaching, like training to coach program, we look at why coaching is needed for women leaders. And one of the things that we look at is the fact that men, people tend to mentor or take under their wing and want to guide people who are like them. So often men will see a younger man who's similar to them in the workplace and think, I'll mentor them. And I think sometimes it's about changing that mindset, isn't it, of who you have a tendency, recognizing that you've got a bias towards men. And I think one of the things that I interviewed Alison Creel for the podcast, and she shared a blog with me afterwards, and it was about, you know, recognizing bias. And I am very aware since that I have to recognize those things that I did a terrible, terrible, terrible thing the other day. This is awful. And I feel ashamed of it, but I'm going to put it out there because what I did, my partner said, you know, the surgeon that I was speaking to the other day about potentially doing triathlon coaching. And I thought of a man.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was dreadful. And it was a woman. And he'd been talking about her. And as soon as he said surgeon, I thought, oh my goodness. Like, if I've got that unconscious bias and I do that, then, you know, I can only imagine what unconscious bias some people have. Sorry, my dog is shaking away in the background. But it's so important, isn't it, that I think men recognise that. But I suppose that women recognise it as well.
That's a really, really interesting point. And the whole point about making a mistake is learning from it, isn't it? Not to beat yourself up about the mistake.
Yeah, definitely.
But one of our network leaders in our Taiwan network wrote a blog that we're publishing on Women Edge shortly. And she wanted to write it about courage. And she was interested, therefore, in she wanted to think of an animal for some reason, I've forgotten that, but for it. And she immediately thought of a lion and then pulled herself up and said, no, it needs to be a lioness.
Yeah.
So it's the outcomings of our upbringing, isn't it? And it yes, is. We have to consciously work against them. It's not just men or women that you would maybe see in your own likeness. It's also disability or race or sexual orientation. So I think what you've said there about mentoring is really, really important.
Yeah. I wonder as well, just as an aside, I'll come back to that. I did see, you might find this interesting, I've posted on the threads that Alison had got going with her blog, some pictures that I took when I was in a toy shop recently. And one was of, it was a girl on the front with a brush. It was a Henrietta, you know, a little Hoover. And one of the quotes on it was, I love to do household chores, or I love helping out around the house. And then the toy for the boys was a digger. And it was, you know, it's so gender biased. I mean, that's a whole other podcast, isn't it? But I wondered how
then
many...
you should do that podcast with my colleague Jules Dolby, because she has a hashtag called gendered cheese. And that all started when she saw bowls of mozzarella in blue packets and pink packets, as if there was a, you know, there was a reason to attract a girl or a boy to a piece of cheese. So every year at our Global Own Conference, she does a session on gendered cheese and the worst examples of the year. So that's always a lot of fun and horrific.
My dog has started barking. See, she's a girl, but she's got a lot of courage and bravery. There she is, barking at the wind, I think. I wondered how many as well, when you were talking, this dog's putting me off now. I wondered how many male head teachers, or even female head teachers actually, would know what the gender pay gap is within their own school. I wonder whether that's a piece of work that many head teachers do. Do you know whether they do or not?
It absolutely depends on whether they've first of all done a gender pay gap report. If an organisation has more than 250 employees, legally they have to do a gender pay gap report, and they have to publish it on the government's website and on their own. So then it's where the schools within a trust and the head teachers of those schools look at that and think about it. And we also recommend all schools to do their own gender pay gap, and also their ethnicity pay gap, their disability pay gap. Some of those are not as easy to do because people might not identify within those categories, sometimes because people have experience of being treated badly because they've identified in that way. But Women Ed, alongside NAHT, ASCL and the National Governance Association, did a very up-to-date gender pay gap report at the end of the autumn term. So all the average overall statistics are in there, and they're shocking, and they are have got a lot worse. The one that always jumps out at me, and why head teachers of all people should absolutely know the gender pay gap in their school, is at age 60 plus, the average gender pay gap for head teachers is £17,500 a year.
Wow.
I'm looking at your face. I wish your listeners could see your face there. It's awful, isn't it?
It's absolutely shocking.
And then that affects women's pension plans.
Of course. And that, I assume that that will be the same, even not just at head teacher, but, you know, I suppose.
The gap gets bigger the more senior the role. There's also a gap between leadership roles in LAs and academies, where there are bigger gaps within academies. So there are lots and lots of reasons for why there's a gender pay gap. But as you are quite rightly saying, the first thing is to know there is one. So that's going to be one of the topics we will put forward, and our male allies will talk to the audience about what they do to address each of the topics that we've gathered in from our Twitter community. So I'm really looking forward to that event on the 7th of March. And that's a run-up to our event on the 8th of March, which is in collaboration with the Chartered College of Teaching. And there we're looking at women who lead system organisations. And by that we mean an education organisation that isn't a school or a trust, but is working across schools and trusts for the benefit of the whole system. And I'm very excited about that because we've got a galactic lineup of women, quite phenomenal women, and they're going to tell their stories of how they became system leaders. And obviously with the theme of break the bias in mind, what have they learned that is possible to do and how to do it so that they can share that with the Chartered College of Teaching and the Women Ed communities.
That is going to be really interesting, isn't it? I'm really looking forward to that. It's interesting to, often I think people look at women in those types of roles and don't often think of all the barriers that they've faced. I remember the interview that I did with Sue Plant, who's the founding head teacher of the John Taylor Free School.
And a Women Ed Network leader.
and she talks about how, you know, she struggled with things like, and I can totally identify with this from when I was a single mum, not being able to, you know, not being able to get into work for a particular time and being like looked down upon, or, you know, feeling like you were being frowned upon. Because once my husband and I had separated, I would not leave home until I'd made sure my children were on the school bus. And the reason for that is, if I didn't, I would have all sorts of stress on my way into work, and when I'd got in work, with phone calls of where's this, where's that, where am I, even though they're all laid out anyway, where they always are, or that I don't have any of this, or I've missed the bus, or, and it would just start my day off horrendously. Mm. So it got to a point where I had to just stay at home until they'd got on the bus. I'd see them, make sure they were on the bus, because the other one just didn't bother going in school some days as well if I didn't make sure he was up and on the bus. But when I was running into my SLT meeting that started at 8:10, on the last minute, running in and sitting down, I felt like the head was looking at me as if to say, you know, I've been here since 7:00, this isn't good enough. And it'd be interesting, it's just tiny things like that, isn't it, that, mm-hmm. that build up, that create those barriers to, probably to me thinking, well, I can't be a head teacher because I've got this responsibility to be a carer, and I can't be in work at 7:00 like you can. And then that, there's a difference then, isn't there, that he has an advantage over me because he has someone, his wife, I don't know, parents, whatever it is, I don't have to look after his child.
Yes, absolutely.
And then that's prohibitive for me because, A, it makes me think I don't want to do it or I can't do it, or B, it makes me think that I'm not doing a good job in what I'm doing, so why would someone want me to, like, how would I get a head teacher job anyway?
Yeah. And it's interesting because some of those are our own perceptions born out of the gendered stereotypes that we've, you know, that are imbibed within us. And some of those are probably what some people are thinking, particularly about that presenteeism issue in education.
Before we find out more about International Women's Day from Vivian, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our partner, Head Teacher Chat. Head Teacher Chat discusses lots of topics, from how to support pupils with learning, how to support parents, and the many issues that come with leading a school. The aim of Head Teacher Chat is to support head teachers and school leaders who are in a challenging and often lonely role. They do this by offering lots of information for schools to tap into. For example, they have lots of fantastic education companies on their database for leaders to discover, as well as leadership templates to download. They've written product reviews for leaders who are looking for products for their school. And this year, they've even launched the very first school leader planner, especially designed to help leaders to be productive and organised. If you'd like to hear more about Head Teacher Chat, you can find them on their website at www.headteacherchat.com. Head Teacher Chat. It's what head teachers are talking about. Now let's get back to the interview. And until we start, I think that's the break the bias, is until we start recognising that that's biased thinking, because just because someone can't be in work until a certain time because they've got children, it doesn't mean that they're not committed or they're not doing a good job.
Exactly.
It just means that their circumstances are such that that is the time. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is for that person because of their caring responsibilities.
And I think that's going to be a really interesting topic and question to put to our women's system leaders on the 8th of March then, because that, for any of those who have children, that will be a really fascinating discussion about those points.
And again, I suppose, though, you know, women without children experience the same sort of biases because they are women and there are the same beliefs about women. So you might have no intention of ever having children. But when you're going for roles, people make an assumption. This person is a woman. She's 28, 29, 30, whatever. Potentially will be going on maternity leave at some point.
And it's those unconscious biases and those very conscious biases that are hard to break down, because they're not, you know, nobody's flag waving their bias, as it were, in front of you. It's much more subtle. It's much more of an undercurrent at times, or even just absolutely a thought that stays in somebody's head. And they're probably working very hard not to think about that, but it's always there. So yes, and motherhood, being a parent, is definitely one of the issues for women leaders in education. Not for International Women's Day, But for Mother's Day, which doesn't come very far after it, Women Ed and the Paternity Teacher Project are collaborating on the motherhood penalty, the motherhood gender pay gap penalty. And the hashtag for that is the mother of all pay gaps. Because when we were talking about a gender pay gap for women, then there's an even bigger gender pay gap for mothers in education. So the gender pay gap is going to run large through some of these events, very definitely.
I'd be really interested as well to hear men's take on this as well. I'd be really interested to hear how they perceive that their own attitudes and their own behaviours towards women, and hope that they can be really open in the way that they are on.
Yes, obviously the men contributing to our manual, they are doing that because they are very supportive of women leaders in all kinds of ways. So the nature of their support will be a really good topic to help other men who want to support but are not quite sure the right way to go about it. Sometimes men are concerned about having a conversation with their female leaders about it because they're bothered about whether they say the wrong thing or they put it over in the wrong way.
I think there's a worry, isn't there, that they come across as being patronising?
Yes. Yes.
And that's a big concern for me.
Yes, we're at our second on conference, so we're talking 5 years ago now, we did have three he for she's who came and did a session about how they feel about being a he for she. And they were the only three men at a conference with 200 women. And they experienced what that felt like for the very first time. And I vividly remember them saying they were nervous, saying to the audience, they were very nervous because they didn't want to say the wrong thing. And that is exactly the same as how we all feel about all aspects of bias in terms of other people. You know, are we using the right language? Are we asking the right questions? Are we raising the right issues? And I think that's a really important point, because unless we actually try, we're never going to know what the most appropriate response is. So rather than just not saying anything or not raising anything, we've got to try, make the mistake if necessary, and learn from that.
I don't know whether you were expecting me to ask this question, but why isn't there an International Men's Day is something I've been asked by generally young people in schools that I've worked in.
There is, but it doesn't get the publicity of International Women's Day, mainly because most men as a gender don't need the support or the focus of an International Women's Day because they are the privileged gender. Especially white men then, who are full of their own privilege in that way. So there is one, but it's quite small in terms of what happens. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't biased against men at all, because we know that, you know, men are suffering greatly in terms of mental health because of the expectations placed on men. And they don't want to live up to those expectations.
Yeah, and there is a lot of bias in schools, I think, you know, about boys and what boys are like, and, you know, stereotypes of boys and their attitudes and their behaviour. And I think it can be difficult. I was saying it a bit tongue-in-cheek, because really I just wondered what your thoughts are and why it's so important that we have International Women's Day and that we do things that really promote International Women's Day. Mm. I suppose that was the question, really.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the fact that it's international, it's global, because of course, when you compare women in education in England or the UK or Europe or the Americas, we do have it significantly better than women in other countries. Mm. I did some work with Ethiopia over the last 2 years, who wanted to increase the number of their head teachers who were women. And that's from a very low bar, because only 11% of head teachers in Ethiopia are women. Yeah. So we have different social, different political challenges for women across the world. So I think one reason why it's important to explore International Women's Day is to remember the extremity of the biases and the extremity of the barriers for other women. We only have to look at what's happening in Afghanistan for women now to be absolutely clear on that point. And secondly, it's because women as a gender are still held back by the stereotypes we've been talking about, many of which they have taken into themselves, which may reduce their own ability to be courageous, to be brave, to be confident. And also for us, from Women Ed's point of view, we wanted to celebrate women's brilliance, because women basically run education. While they are not in the majority in the leadership roles, they are the people who run the organisations and make them work, because they are the majority of the workforce. So we have to celebrate how brilliant they are, how resilient they are, how amazing their superpowers are with their colleagues, parents, and with the students. And therefore, what we have to do is be sure that we use International Women's Day as a trampoline, as it were, to say, and if you want to be leaders, then there are these ways to do it. There are these men who can support you. Find the right mentor to help you in that way. Talk to your partner about shared child rearing and shared domestic load. And we can use it as a platform to be highlighting the issues and the support from Women Ed to address those issues and to tear the barriers down.
Because at the end...
That's why we've got system leaders for that event on the 8th of March, because not only are they showing that women can do it, they will share their learning of how they did it. And I think that's important for women to see other women in those roles.
What I was going to say was, I don't know if this is the right phrase, but it's not a race to the bottom, is it? Like, just because, you know, people in other countries have it much worse off, that doesn't make it okay because we're better than them. Doesn't make it okay for us. So I don't know if race to the bottom is the right phrase, but you understand what I mean there, don't you? You know, there is still a way to go in this, in the, I suppose, the more advanced nations, like you talked about, Europe, America, Canada. Mm-hmm. Australia.
And we've got a responsibility, I think, to address those barriers, because then it shows women in other countries that these issues can be addressed and improved. And that's why we love Women Ed being a global community, because we learn a great deal from any one network, learns a great deal from another network, and the way in which they can work. We had a super event not that long ago, before Christmas, where our Middle East and North Africa network put on an event about gender and feminism in the Middle East, which I thought was a really brave topic. So they're sharing their learning and their ideas, and that brings things back to other networks. So women standing up for other women and empowering women is one of the most effective strategies that we can have to, I was going to say, to reduce the need for International Women's Day, but I don't ever want that, because at the very least, what we must do is celebrate women. And that's a great date in which to do that.
Thank you so much for coming along and talking about it. So many things that I'm really excited about. So you said everything kicks off this weekend, the last weekend in February.
26th of February in Northern Ireland. All our events are on our womened.org website. So more and more will be going up as networks have finalised those, but you can find all the events on that womened.org and on our events page.
Great. And I will be sharing those with my Women Lead Well network as well. We've got our monthly coaching call. I've changed the date this month, so we do it actually on the 8th on International Women's Day.
Wonderful.
We're going to have it as a celebration of... Yeah, Ruby's in favour of it as well. A celebration of all the brilliant things about all these women in the network. So that's going to be really good as well.
That will be very exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much for joining us again, Vivian. I am sure that you will get lots of people at all these events, and it's going to be really... I just want to say that it will be really empowering for women, I think, you know, to help to create that sense of belief that, you know, it is something you can aspire to leadership and you can be a head teacher. You just have to find the right support, don't you?
You do. You have to find the right support and you have to find the right school or the right organisation for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other show as well.
It is.
I think because I was looking at, it's funny because I was looking at Twitter and there was a man on there who said, you know, I've done acting assistant head, I've done this, I've done that, I've been head of department for however long, great results. I've applied for 2 assistant head posts and, you know, haven't got anything. And it did make me think, you know, you need to find the right school for you though. Sometimes when you're applying for things, you mustn't be discouraged by not being, you know, asked to interview or not being in the final two or not getting the job, even if you're in the final two, because you need to be in the right place for you. And it's, for me, that is absolutely pivotal to being able to be successful. So hopefully this day will empower women to just, you know, go out there and be courageous and break those biases. And
sounds magnificent, doesn't it?
And fulfill their leadership potential. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Vivian.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Sounds like there are some amazing things taking place. I cannot wait to get involved in all of the things that are going on to celebrate International Women's Day, especially the involvement of the Chartered College of Teaching, which I think is brilliant. And the importance of supporting women and men supporting women and men being allies to women is really important. I also think the women who lead system organisations talking about their stories of how they became system leaders and the barriers that they faced sounds really interesting to me. So get involved, have a look at womened.org website and you can find all the events on there, as Vivian said. So I'm really looking forward to that. So much so that this month's monthly call for the Women Lead Well Network, we are going to be celebrating International Women's Day for that too. So that's brilliant. If you are interested in joining the Women Lead Well Network, it's been absolutely amazing to have so many women supporting each other. And if you'd like to join that, you can email me. It's vicky@weleadwell.co.uk, or if you would be interested in finding out more about the group coaching programs that I run or any of the one-to-one coaching that I do, or if you'd just like to have a chat about coaching and what it could do to help you to support your leadership journey, get in touch with me, vicky@weleadwell.co.uk, or have a look at my website and you can book in for a chat there. It's www.transformeducationcoach.com. Thank you so much for listening this week. When International Women's Day arrives, celebrate it, support all the other women out there worldwide in order to break the bias. And I will speak to you next time. Take care of yourself, take care of your staff, and lead well. This episode of the We Lead Well podcast was brought to you in partnership
with Transform Education Coaching, headteacherchats.com and Teach Well Alliance.